Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Many Mondays. Da, da,
da, is that? Da, da,
da. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
No, I don't know. Oh, so is that a?
I love that day.
Is that Neil Diamond?
No. Who is Mamas and the Papas.
Mamas and the Papas.
Every other day. Every other day of the week is fine. Yeah.
Dang it, Chuck. You got to
really. But when Monday comes around.
Those velvety pipes.
Well, you're the Velvet Fog.
Or
Smoky Velvet.
I like Velvet Fog. That would be my superhero name.
That's Mel Torme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's his name?
I think so.
That's his nickname? Interesting. No, it's just me, Noel, and you, Chuck, and it's Mini Crush Monday, as was indicated by your delightful ditty at the top of the show.
I was waiting for some backup vocals.
I don't know that song well enough to do the backups. I'm sorry. I left you hanging there. It wasn't on purpose.
That's right. We'll get on with our lives. Because you know why, Noel?
Mm.
We are starting with... Noel's Holes.
Oh my gosh, my favorite all-time segment.
All right, Noel, I tried to even further embarrass you by doing a 90s edition. See if I can get you.
Chuck, you do realize I come out of these most of the time looking pretty okay. I don't feel like it's...
No, you do great. In fact, I don't think you've ever been stymied. I don't think you've ever gone below 50%.
Yeah, but you said you were going to embarrass me, Chuck.
That's my goal.
All right.
I'm going to... A yes column and a no column with the old Sharpie.
All right.
And we're going to go 90s style.
Okay.
20 of them, Noel. We just talked about this. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Well,
oh, no. We talked about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
See?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Different. Isn't that with, is that Heath Ledger?
It is.
No, I have not seen it. And I was about to say, if you want a little inside scoop, and I think you already know this on how to get me, is romantic comedies, Chuck. I have a massive black hole in my movie watching habits for romantic comedies.
All right.
So hopefully this isn't rife with those because you will best me, sir.
What I did was I do a variety of films, Noel. 10 Things I Hate About You, though, Noel, is a good movie.
Okay.
It is quite charming.
Who's the female love interest lead?
What's
her name? I'm picturing
what's
her face.
What's her face? Julia Stiles.
Julia Stiles, yep.
Yeah, she's great. I don't see enough of her anymore. I think she's good.
Yeah.
She was so funny in... State in Maine.
I haven't seen them. Is it on the list? Is that from the
90s? It should be.
Okay.
All right, Noel, number two.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've probably seen this, Space Jam.
Space Jam the movie.
No, Space Jam the Broadway show.
No, I saw Space Jam on ice.
Did you really?
No, I'm kidding. That would be great, though. I would love that. Wouldn't that be cool? Basketball players on skates.
Yeah.
Dunking it out there on the ice. Yeah, I saw it in the theaters, of course. And I actually met...
Oh, you did see it. Okay.
I did see it. I also met...
Michael Jordan?
No, but the
Bugs
guy... The guy who did Bugs' voice in Space Jam, Billy West, who is a legendary voice actor.
Wow.
He did like Ren and Stimpy and
goodness.
Doug Funny, and he did... he does Fry on Futurama. That is what his actual voice sounds like.
Oh, really?
But he did Bugs Bunny on Space Jam, and that's the only Bugs Bunny he's ever done. But I met him.
Wow.
That's very, very cool.
That's kind of cool. Where'd you meet him?
We did this Cartoon Network partnership podcast
Drawn. Yeah, yeah.
And he was one of the folks we interviewed for like the voice acting episode.
Good guy?
Very, very good guy.
Did he do voices for you in person?
So many. He was so
really?
Great. So great. Man. He did the Ren scream.
Oh, my
like
God.
The you idiot and then the Stimpy. You know, I can't even do it. I can't even like get my voice to that level. And
that
he had to go so far
fun.
Off mic to do it, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
That was
fantastic. Yeah,
I
he
love
was a
it.
Pro.
All right, Noel, number three, Boys in the Hood.
I can't cop to that because I've only seen it in snippets.
All right. Noel, number four, Babe 2, Pig in the City.
Nope. Saw Babe 1, though.
That's another no. Noel, the great, great film, L.A. Confidential.
Yes. Seen that multiple times.
Okay.
That was late 90s.
Sure.
99, I want to say. Turn of the 90s.
Turn of the century.
Yeah, exactly.
Cruel Intentions.
Yes. Yes.
That sounded iffy?
Yeah, no, that's with what's-her-face.
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah, from Buffy. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Quite like that. The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yep.
Okay.
Real creepy role for Damon.
Sure.
Yeah. No spoilers there, but.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, he gets a little stalkery in that one.
No spoilers.
Mm.
Noel, the movie 54, about Studio 54.
Yeah, with Mike Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You saw that?
I did see that.
All right.
I don't think that was remembered very fondly.
No, I don't think
it was thought of as being a very good film. But I remember thinking it was – I was young enough at the time where I was like – I felt like a little naughty for seeing it because it was like – had a lot of
– I think Ryan Phillippe was in that too.
He was in that, yeah. It was sort of like the less good Boogie Nights. Like it was trying to jump off
way
of
less.
What Boogie Nights had accomplished.
I think you're right.
And it just wasn't that.
Yeah, that's a shame too. There should be a good Studio 54 movie.
Mike Myers wore a weird prosthetic nose or something in it, too, I seem to
remember. Yeah, he played, can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
The owner, though, the real-life owner.
The guy, yeah.
The People versus Larry Flint, Noel.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Courtney Love playing a very Courtney Love-esque figure in that movie.
Noel, the Gwyneth Paltrow, Ethan Hawke version of Great Expectations.
Yep. Saw that.
You're killing it, man. With, 90s, that's your decade.
That was a big soundtrack movie, too. That was like one of those at the time when people still bought movie soundtracks for the songs.
Right.
Like, not the score, like, because it was like a curated thing. And it had a Pulp song on it called Like a Friend that I still very much enjoy. Wow.
I like that movie. It gets bagged on.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was good.
It was good.
Let me see here. Absolute Power, Noel. Clint Eastwood.
I don't remember.
I'd say that's
I'm going to have to give it a no.
The Western, modern Western comedy Maverick.
Yes. Yes. Poker movie.
I didn't see it.
With Jodie Foster and James.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Almost
James.
There. From The Notebook and Rockford Files.
Yeah, exactly.
And The Great Escape.
What is his last name?
James Garner.
Garner. Yeah. Yeah. I really like that movie.
No, you have virtually locked this one in the bag at this point.
Cool.
The movie, the Robert Altman classic, Shortcuts.
I have not seen that one.
The Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger film, Where They Met, I believe, The Marrying Man.
No, absolutely not.
Mm, the nose are catching up. The gangster, Johnny Depp gangster film, Donnie Brasco.
Yeah, I saw Donnie Brasco.
I figured.
What the fuck? Who the fuck you think you're talking to? I saw Donnie Brasco.
Fuck you.
Isn't he like a mole? He's like a secret, like, he's like posing as a gangster.
I think he was undercover.
He's undercover, yeah.
I don't remember. That was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Noel, The Full Monty.
Oh, I loved The Full Monty.
Of course you did.
I actually remember seeing that in New York at like some little art house theater when it came out when I was a kid with my mom.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Noel, the Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, Ron Howard epic, Far and Away.
I did see that in the theaters.
You're crushing the
90s. I found it very boring as
a
child.
Crushing the 90s. Thought I might have you with that one. The Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin film, Bowfinger.
Yeah, saw that in the theaters too.
Boom. You're killing it. I knew you would.
Yeah.
Two more, Noel.
Okay.
You've got this one locked up.
Good.
In fact, this is your best performance yet.
Wow. I love a slow start and then a redemption story, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're like,
you had one of those when I did Chuck's Holes.
Oh, man. I thought there was no way I was going to get 50%.
You did well.
I barely got it. The Ashley Judd film, Double Jeopardy.
Yes, of course. Doesn't it rely on the false notion that you can't be convicted of a crime twice or something like that?
I think that's true, though, right?
Well, it is true, but I think the way they present it in the movie is not quite true.
It doesn't hold up to legal scrutiny.
I believe that's the case, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like that movie's been ragged on for that.
Gotcha.
Question for you real quick, Chuck. I say ragged on. You say bagged on. Are both of them acceptable, or am I just saying something that is totally nonsensical?
To me, there are two different things. When I'm ragging on someone, I'm kind of teasing them. If I'm bagging on someone, I'm saying they suck.
Oh, so ragging is a little more lighthearted version of bagging.
Yeah, like I rag on you, but I'm not going to bag
on
you.
So, we've clarified that. That was important
That's
for me.
My interpretation.
I think that's accurate. Right. I was making sure that when I was saying ragging, that is something people say.
Sure.
Cool.
Especially in the 90s.
Just making sure I'm normal.
which is where, well,
I got to take the
I'm not
temperature.
Comment on that.
I got to take the temperature of the room sometimes, Chuck.
And then finally, Noel, finish it out strong. I think you've probably seen the great Spike Lee true crime film Summer of Sam.
I have, with the talking dog.
All right. Final score, 14-6.
Nice.
Noel crushes the 90s as expected.
Thanks, dude.
And now we will go to a message break.
Let's do it.
All right, we're back. I've never done that before.
Well, I'm going to make a note in here for Ramsey so he doesn't have to find the ad break this time.
Well, do you know what would be funny is if Ramsey put the message break somewhere else and then, like, it just had this awkward pause.
That would be funny.
Where we giggled.
But not very efficient, so I am going to make the note.
All right, Noel, we're going to move on and finish up with two social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
Two good ones. One is called Saddest Movie Scene Ever. And here we go. Ryan Zach says, in The Fox and the Hound, when Copper bounces away in the back of a truck as Todd looks onward, but they never get to see their best friend again.
Should we do a blanket spoiler alert for this? Because I feel like sometimes the saddest scene in a movie is going to be a spoiler.
Yeah, blanket spoilers everyone.
Blanket spoilers for any potential movie.
Good call. Jimmy Kuykendall says, hands down, the first 10 minutes of Up.
Everyone says that.
Good God.
People love, I guess. I mean, are moved in an uncomfortable way by that? Or
yeah, they should use that. You know, when they do crying studies, they hook up little containers under your eyes to catch your tears.
Really?
And they show you sad shit.
Huh.
And they should totally use that.
That would be good.
And the reason I know this is because growing up, I saw a special on 60 Minutes or something. Mm-hmm. Where they did a crying study, and this was when I was young, so they showed the movie Brian's Song about the true story of a football player who dies young.
Ah.
Ugh. It was known as like the saddest movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it old? Sad.
Yeah, yeah. It was Jimmy Kahn and...
Got it.
Oh, who played Gale Sayers? Can't remember.
Is that the one where he says, take one for the Gipper? Give me one for the Gipper?
No. That's not a thing.
Okay. It is a thing. That is a thing. I believe it's Jimmy Stewart that says that.
All right. Let's go to Brittany's story. And here's what I'm going to admit. I don't even know what film you're talking about here. But 80 people upliked it or sad-faced it. When Artax... Do you know who that is?
Yeah, it's the Neverending Story, dude.
Yeah,
it's never when the horse drowns in the swamps of sadness, sinks into the swamps.
When Artax slowly sank into the swamp of sadness, and Atreyu realizes he can't save him from his own sadness.
Yeah.
You have to try, you have to care. That scene is likely the first trauma that anyone born in the 70s, 80s experienced.
Oh, dude, no. That movie in general is full of those moments, but that one is a crusher.
I never saw that. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it seems
what
like—
What year did that? Oh, that was 84. I was 13.
It would have been a beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's not. It's a kind of an intense, like, fantasy.
All right.
You know, there's a lot of, like, violence. And, I mean, yeah, 13 would have been just about right. Any younger than that would almost be too much. Billy Crystal's in it. He plays a weird bat kind of creature guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's good.
Tim Castro, Toy Story 2, 2, Jesse's backstory, accompanied by the Sarah McLachlan song, When She Loved Me. Oh, man, this is just bumming me out, everybody. Those Toy Story movies are sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, Ruby's already seen a couple of them, but.
Didn't you say she made a comment about it or something? Or maybe it wasn't that one, but you said something
which one? Something made her sad.
Something made her real sad. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter. I don't care.
You bastard.
Oh, Joe Herndon. God. And Forrest Gump when Tom Hanks meets his son and asks if he's smart.
Yeah. Oh, God. You just triggered me just now.
Ugh, can't take it, Noel. I don't know if I'm going to get through this segment.
Isn't that little Haley Joel Osment, too?
I think so, right?
Little BB Haley Joel.
Little BB Haley. Don M. Lozano says, Ricky Schroeder in The Champ, when the champ dies. Man, this is all so sad.
Was that give him one for the Gipper?
No, yes, it was. let me see. You're going to look that shit up, aren't you, Noel? I think it was, wasn't it like a Ronald Reagan movie?
That's exactly what it was, Chuck.
He was the Gipper?
Yep.
Isn't that right?
He's the Gipper. Win one for the Gipper.
our old friend, the Mudge, Jennifer Mudge, says, obviously the scene in Dumbo with a mom and she's in the cage thing and their trunks are wrapped together Why on earth is this a kid's movie? I'm still heartbroken. Yeah, man, they will destroy you as a child. Megan Rosenbaugh says the funeral scene from My Girl. He can't see without his glasses.
I had a realization the other day. I've been really loving the show Veep. Have you seen Veep?
I watched all of Veep.
Yeah, it's
fantastic. I was a huge fan.
Fantastic. It's so funny and smart and sharp.
The best writing on TV while it was on.
It is incredible. Well, it's still on right now. The last season is on.
No, but
right
this
now.
Is it.
Yeah, you're watching it though, right?
Yeah.
Currently. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Got
I
it.
Awkwardly was saying no, it's over now.
Yeah, it gets how it felt. But no, the Anna Chlumsky, who is the super snarky, like chief of staff, that is My Girl. She is My Girl.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did.
I didn't know that until recently. Okay, I'm sorry. I was saying like it's some revelation. I didn't realize that.
So you didn't realize she was in Veep or you didn't connect the dots?
I didn't connect the dots until pretty recently.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she took a big comeback.
Old hiatus. Like she didn't do anything for a long time.
I think she went to college.
Good job.
Yeah. When you say she didn't do anything, you mean
acting wise.
Didn't do the most vapid job on earth, which is
exactly.
acting. When Ruth dies in Fried Green Tomatoes, that's from Eric Montaigne. That was pretty, pretty sad. Our old friend Lillian Rolfe says the end of Grave of Fireflies.
Oh, my God.
I don't know this movie.
It is – it's not a Miyazaki movie, but it is a Studio Ghibli movie.
I don't know what any of these words you're saying
Miyazaki
mean.
Did – he's like the Walt Disney of Japan. He did like
– What's Studio Ghibli?
That's his studio.
Oh, okay.
It's like with the Disney of Japan. It's like that big. They make all these incredible animated films. He did like Princess Mononoke was a real – like all of his were pretty big in the States. They've all been dubbed by like celebrity voices and all that. But Grave of the Fireflies is about – either Nagasaki or Hiroshima, like one of the cities where, you know, the atomic bomb was dropped, and it follows a girl and her – I'm sorry, a boy and his little sister as they're kind of separated from their family and then just like kind of going through trying to survive in this like post – practically post-apocalyptic Japan. And it's not gruesome exactly. It's not graphic in the way you'd think, but it just – plants these seeds emotionally, and then it just kind of twists the knife. It's really, really powerful.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. It's not like upsetting sad. It's like cathartic sad. It's really – I'm about to tear up just talking
Jeez.
About it. It's incredible, Chuck.
We're sensitive guys, Noel. Joshua Inman actually seconded, said Grave of Fireflies, the whole movie. What a downer, he says. Amy Ball says in Lord of the Rings, colon, F-O-T-R, whatever that means – I'm just kidding.
F-O-T-R?
Fellowship of the Ring. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just being coy. Let me guess. The saddest scene in that movie is the first scene of the first movie is my guess.
Which one?
Lord of the Rings. The first scene of the first movie is the saddest scene because that means it started.
That's very good, Chuck. That's very good. That's very good.
No, Amy Ball, I'm just kidding. She says, when Boromir dying says, I would have gone with you, my brother, my captain, my king. Yeah, well.
I think the Lord of the Rings movies are lovely, Chuck. I do agree that the last one is about a movie's length too long, you know, or how, you know, it's too long. But I think they're good movies.
Our old friend Luis Silva, when Mickey dies in Rocky III.
Mickey Mouse?
Oh, come on.
Is this a...
Get out.
Okay, I'm gone. I probably am going to get sued by Disney just for uttering those words.
Oh, you think?
Just for speaking the name of the mouse.
They're going to come after all your monies?
They will come down on me like the hammer of the gods.
Don Morris, our old friend, says the dad speech at the end of Call Me By Your Name. Yeah, boy, that was.
That's
great.
I've heard it's good.
It's really great. Very, very good movie. Very moving. Sherry Jones, Terms of Endearment. Oh, good Lord. When the kids come in and say goodbye to their mom. Ugh. Holy shit. I was sad when I came up with this post last night, Noel. That's why I did it.
Why were you sad, Chuck? Why were you sad?
Just life.
Life stuff. Yeah.
Life stuff. When I'm sad, Noel, I don't want to be cheered up. I like to wallow in that.
Totally.
I will listen to the Smiths. I will feel sad, and I will just drink it in.
There's also because
it feels good to feel sad sometimes.
Well, there's a thing my girlfriend told me about. She comes from a therapy background. It's called toxic positivity.
Ooh.
It's when someone's feeling sad and all you do is try to pause them up, you know, and try to make them feel better. But by doing that, sometimes you are diminishing the validity of their sadness by saying, like, oh, just be happy. It's easy.
Yeah.
Just figure it out. Here, just let me
our parents' generation and beyond, there's a lot of that. We call it Pollyanna in our house.
Exactly.
Like, just trying to, like, oh, well, just don't let it bother you.
I'm guilty of doing that sometimes to folks. I think I'm helping, but she kind of told me about this,
this
concept, and I realized, no, sometimes you just have to be there and listen and just let people go through their stuff and just let them know that you're there for them if they need you, but not, like, try to change them or fix them. You know
So. I think a man's men often try to fix things, and that's why I think men sometimes aren't the best listeners in relationships.
Right.
Because they're just go into, like, well, what can I do to make this right mode?
Right.
When I think women are more prone to be like, let's dig into this. Why are we sad?
This is Psychology 101 with Nolan Chuck.
Yeah, I like feeling sad sometimes. And I should say that I've never suffered from depression or anything like that. That is a real deal thing that I'm not making light of, saying, like, it's fun to feel sad.
Dude, but
so I don't know what that's like. I'm a happy person. So when I feel a range of emotions, it's good for me.
Absolutely. I in general am too. And I sometimes wonder, and it's not so cut and dry whether or not you quote unquote have depression, because it's like it's a spectrum, you know, it's like a scale.
Absolutely.
And I've sometimes wondered if I do sometimes, but then I see people who really, really have it and I'm like, oh, no, I don't have it like that. So it's just, I think sometimes just the human condition is sometimes not being happy 100% of the time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Life's tough, man. Ben Emerson says, when Bowen has to kill Draco at the end of Dragonheart, didn't see that film. Don't know that film. Ian Lyon says, the end of Dear Zachary. Oh, good God. All of Dear Zachary, Ian. That's what I say.
That's a documentary, right?
Yeah, just...
Yeah, my friend Matt, who you, I think, know, we worked with us on some stuff. He recommended that as just like the quintessential best emotionally draining documentary in the world. Yeah,
it's one of those things where you're just like, how much can one family take? You know, real, real stuff, everybody. Let me see here. Scott Thiel says, dead baby in Titanic. I don't remember a dead baby.
Don't recall a dead baby. Was it like a floater?
Was it like, oh, God.
I'm sorry.
There we are, folks. Rock bottom.
Wait a minute. No. I do remember. Wait. Doesn't maybe like the mother, like a mother kill her baby or something?
Oh, I don't think so.
Because she thinks the end is nigh?
No.
I'm just going to Google dead baby Titanic,
well,
okay?
Please do. I think the scene in Titanic that has traditionally wrecked people is the old couple who curl up together as the water is coming in the room. That was pretty tough.
It is a floater.
Really?
Yeah, it's dead mom and holding dead baby underwater.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's a picture. There's an image.
All right. Well, I take it all back.
And she's all, they're both all pale and ghosty looking.
Well, you know what that means, Noel. They've just ascended to heaven.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's all good. Speaking of Pollyanna. All right, let's just do a couple of more because, good God, this is a bummer. Jill Sordiff Vinden says, of Mice and Men, any version, when Lenny has to be killed. That's tough. Tough book. A lot
the
of people,
rabbits. Look at the rabbits.
I
look
know.
At the bunnies.
A lot of people on Grave of Fireflies, Noel. I got to check that out. I like a good sad movie.
Oh, it's so good, Chuck. And you, if you haven't seen any of those Ghibli movies or any of those Miyazaki films, there's one called The Wind Also Rises that I actually haven't seen, but it's about the invention of like the airplane in Japan, like their version, like for military purposes, and how it's all about like this guy who just loves the idea of flight and then how his dream is kind of co-opted into turning it into like a war machine.
Yeah.
And it's like that whole juxtaposition. But he is a genius guy, Miyazaki. Yeah.
I got to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Noel, we're going to finish up this week with something we're going to continue because we got a lot of engagement here. I don't have a name for this, so I'm going to call it you call that a tip? I don't know if we're going to have music for that. But that's what we're going to call this, Noel. And this is home movie viewing tips. This is like a very practical bit we're going to do.
Cool.
Stuff that people may not know. And I said from lighting and sound to mood setting, popcorn, whatever.
Yeah.
And I use an example. Here's my tip, everyone. Very simple. Put backlight your TV. Put a light behind your TV.
That's wild to me, Chuck. I would find that distracting, I think.
No, Noel, it is
really?
Great. Yeah,
really?
A backlit screen is enriches the experience.
So when you – like what kind of light? Like just a lamp?
Well, anything really, but I just have a simple little can light that points up.
So you don't even – you just see like a little bit of splash of light on the wall behind it?
Splash of light on the wall
Got
behind it.
Got it.
And if you
cool.
go to a movie theater, you will notice all kinds of side lighting and backlighting.
That's very true.
For a reason.
That's very true.
It's not so you can make your way around.
I was wondering that actually. The other day I was at a movie and it was a little brighter than I was used to with those side wall sconces or whatever.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And then that makes a lot of sense, Chuck.
Yep. So that's my tip. Noel, do you have any?
I don't know. I just I don't have any particular – I mean I like the light to be controlled. I just got some of those Philips Hue smart lights, the Bluetooth-controlled light bulbs that change color. So I've been building some looks kind of like lighting-wise for different moods. So I actually haven't tried this out yet, but I'm thinking some kind of low-colored wash might be nice to set the mood in the room a little bit.
So what are the bulbs?
They are these bulbs that you can just screw into any lamp or fixture.
But what's the system that
– It's called Hue by Philips.
Hue by Philips.
And you have an app on your phone that you can literally – however many lights you have in the system, I think it's up to like six or something. You can set different zones. So it can be like living room or bedroom or whatever. And you can make these scenes where there are different combinations of the bulbs that can be whatever color and intensity you want. And it's also Alexa controlled. You can say Alexa
–
wait. Sorry to anyone who has an Alexa. You can say Schmalexa, turn on, you know, color wash number six or, you know, tropical paradise or whatever.
Wow.
You know? It's really, really cool. I think you'd dig it.
And it comes with a bag of weed.
Totally does.
Champ Rosado says this. I recently went all out and got a 4K projector and a 110-inch screen, and it honestly changed my life. I also own a real-deal popcorn maker. Yeah, there's something to be said for that projector, man. My brother's got quite a home theater. I don't even think my brother goes to the movies anymore, maybe occasionally, but he's got such a nice scene down there. He did it upright. Black curtains surrounding the screen, the whole deal. Let me see. Justin Michael says, popcorn with brown butter, fresh rosemary, or mosemary, and Parmesan. And a good bourbon barrel stout. Wow. Justin Michael doing it up. Brown butter.
Brown butter. That is some schmancy popcorn right there.
Yeah.
You know what? I like a little nutritional yeast on popcorn.
Yo.
It sounds gross and clinical, Chuck, but it's nice. It's nice. It's a nice flavor.
Yeah, I don't know why the word yeast creeps me out.
Yeast,
it's the
you got a word aversion to yeast?
I think I do.
How do you feel about moist?
Moist doesn't – I know that freaks most people out.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeast bothers you more than moist. What about moist yeast?
Oh, God. That's like the worst fan name
the
ever.
Double whammy.
What's up? We're Moist Yeast.
It's also kind of a tongue twister.
And this is our first song. It's called Wet Farts. Alan Smithy says, put the TV on game mode to reduce and remove processing so one is able to watch the movie with a proper frame rate and color intended by the creators. All right. That's a pretty good tip there. Thomas Tenorello says, if you have Blu-ray player and you're playing an older movie or DVD or an older pressing of a DVD, always set the picture to cinema. It's not as vivid or saturated, but you avoid weird skin tones and pixelation. Boy, this is great, man. People need these tips, Noel.
They absolutely do. These are important. I think I wish I had more to offer. I have a good like hi-fi system, but I don't have a surround system, so I don't typically hook it up to my setup. Like I kind of wish I had like a really good wireless Sonos kind of surround system, and then I used to love having surround in my living room, and I haven't had it in years.
But yeah,
I had
sound
a long
coming
time ago,
and I crank that shit up when I can. Let me see here. Sarah Nagy says, I know some people hate it, but closed caption really helps me catch lines a lot of times that I've never heard before. Yeah. If you can sort of get by the words on the screen.
It bugs me.
It can really help in a lot of movies.
I don't like it. I don't like it, man. It bugs me. It distracts me. It makes me – it draws my eye away from the action.
Mm-hmm.
I get
– Do you like subtitled films?
Well, you really don't have a choice at that point.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Does it bug you?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I always find I am less engaged with the action on screen when I'm having to constantly move my eyes up and down. And, you know, maybe I'm just not a fast enough reader. I don't know.
No, I mean, I get it. I got to be in the right mood for a subtitled film, but I'd certainly enjoy it. Benjamin Johnson says, if you want stovetop popcorn that's a bit unique, toss in a few pickled jalapenos into the oil as it's heating up. The result is a spicy delight. Not bad.
So you actually cook down the jalapenos?
Well, cook the jalapenos in the oil and then, I believe, remove them. So it's like infused with jalapeno.
Oh, you're talking about actually popping the popcorn in some oil.
Stovetop,
in
baby.
Man, that's, yeah.
Old school.
Man, it tastes better, doesn't it?
I think so.
I think it really does. I think there's no question.
I mean, if you're comparing to like air popping.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
Again, put a hairdryer on your popcorn.
I agree.
And expect it to taste as good as
no.
cooking it in
you're
oil.
Right. You're right. What do you think about those crazy ones that come with the tinfoil and then it balloons up into this crazy
Jiffy
thing?
Pop.
Those are fun.
I mean, dude, that's 70s. Like, I haven't seen those in years.
Yeah. In that scene of Scream. Remember the first Scream movie?
Yeah, yeah. Very
She's cooking that. Uh-huh. And when that's like the timekeeper uh-huh. for like how much time has
yeah,
passed or whatever.
Very clever.
It's very good.
Our old friend Lisa Romano says, similarly to me, my granny always used to put a lamp beside the television and turn the main light off. Yeah, lighting is key, man. You can't watch a movie with all the lights on. You got to set the mood, man. Set it. Our old friend Adam Pelletier says, air pop popcorn, right after I was just bagging on it. Air pop popcorn tossed in melted butter. All right. You're bringing me back. And then multiple dashes of a vinegary hot sauce, like Texas Pete or something. That's my go-to movie snack. People are digging the hot popcorn. You like the hot pop?
Spicy pop?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I've ever really gone out for spicy pop. Maybe a little cayenne on top, and then you shake it around to infuse
okay.
it. You know?
All right.
I like this jalapeno oil situation.
Yes,
that's a good idea. How do you feel about kettle corn, Chuck? Sweet popcorn.
I like it, but not for movies.
No. It's not the same. It's a different animal entirely.
Different animal.
Isn't it? Well.
All right. Here's a big one, everybody. And we've had I've posted about this before. Because Tom Cruise recorded a public service announcement about this. This is from Danielle Ferlito. On modern HDTVs, everybody, for the love of God, turn off motion smoothing.
Well, that's just 101 right there. Anyone that
so
gives
many
a
people
shit
do not, though.
About the integrity of the moving image, you got to turn that shit off.
Yeah, here's the deal, everyone. Your HDTV, when you buy it, likely comes with something called motion smoothing turned on.
Yeah.
And if you think it looks funny and like a soap opera or something.
Yeah.
Emily and I call it dailies mode.
Yep.
It is. Why do they even do it, Noel? It's the worst.
Like, what's it for?
I don't know.
Who's it for?
I think it may be for sports.
Yeah, but sports already are filmed at a higher frame rate anyway, so they already
sports
look
are,
that way.
I don't know, man.
Do you know what I'm saying, though, when I say the higher frame rate thing? It's like what it's doing for our traditional 24 frames a second, like the thing that our eye recognizes as a fucking movie.
Yes.
You know, which is the blur. It's literally that's what we like and what we are used to and the pleasantness of that frame rate. Motion smoothing almost interpolates those frames and like – maybe I'm saying this wrong. Correct me, anyone out there, if I'm saying this wrong. But I believe it almost interpolates those frames and inserts new information to make it look like you're seeing the full action as opposed to this kind of
– it's just
magical,
worst.
Ghosty thing that you're seeing in as a film or at that frame rate. But again, sports, though, are filmed at a higher frame rate because they're fast. They're running around. You want to see the action while they're moving around in the field or the fucking sports box.
Well, most TVs will have a range of things, and chances are it has a cinema selection.
Right.
And if you don't want to if you don't really know what you're doing and want to mess with individual, like, granular settings.
Sure.
Just throw it on cinema.
Yep.
And just leave it there.
I feel the same way as a music nerd, and I'm sure you do too, for some of these like EQ presets that like pump up the bass and the mids and stuff. It's listen to it like the person that mixed it and mastered it intended it to be listened to.
Right. Like, this needs more bass.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
So, yeah, motion smoothing, everyone. Chances are you've had to, like, sneak into your in-law's house and find their remote in the middle of the night and turn it off. because that's what I used to have to do. And I've heard other similar stories. It is something that your father-in-law may not understand. So just explain to them that it's not a superior picture. It makes it all gross and bad. Heather Ingram, have a blanket to curl up under and a hugging pillow for coziness. I'm all about the hugging pillow.
Is that like a snuggie? Clutch. Oh, a clutch.
Yeah, when I sleep, I have a pillow that I just hug.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
You guys, you and your wife don't spoon?
Oh, good God, no. We've been married for a gazillion years.
Do you guys sleep back to back? Do you like have your little corner and you face away from each other? Is this too personal? I'm sorry.
I mean, I flip around a lot. So
you're a flipper.
Like,
yeah.
When you're supposed to be sleeping, just sleep
however you want to sleep. That's right.
You don't have to sleep like cuddling and
holding one another. I do resent the implication that I'm going to stay in this position all night. So if like I'm, you know, with a lady and then she gets cozied up in such a way where my arm is tethered in some way, I'm like, this is sweet and everything, but this isn't going to last.
It's
so I'm
untenable.
Just going to nip this in the bud right now. Yank that bad boy right out from under you.
Oh, Christopher Watt says subtle ambient light is the key for sure. And we'll do one more. And I'm going to leave these up, everyone, because these are good tips, and we'll hit them again. And if you think you don't know what you're doing watching films, go to this thread on tips, and I'm not going to pin it. Maybe I will pin it. All right, we're going to finish with Liam Murphy, who has a food tip. It's a little bizarre, if you ask me, but he got one heart from someone, so he has a match. Microwave popcorn plus a handful of peanut M&Ms mixed in. That's normal so far.
Yep.
Plus half a teaspoon of sugar sprinkled on top.
That's to help the medicine go down.
And a glass of chocolate milk.
Wait, in the popcorn?
And I don't think so.
That would be bizarre.
So, Liam, that is quite a power move there with your popcorn foods.
Yeah, I do like a good chocolate milk. I'm not a milk drinker typically, but chocolate milk is a nice treat.
You know what, Noel? I'll get a chocolate milk, whole milk, of course.
Of course.
About 4 or 5 times a year at the store.
Exactly.
I'll just see the small little bottle and I'll have a hankering.
Sometimes I'll get the real artisanal one that's like $6 for like just the tiny little milk jug.
It's like the sweetest chocolate cream.
So good.
Going right in your mouth.
So good. Yeah.
I introduced my daughter to chocolate milk not too long ago and she was kind of like, whoa, you've been ripping me off this whole time.
There is magic in the world.
There is magic in the world. All right, everyone. That does it for this mini, mini. Thanks for listening. You got anything else?
Oh, I saw First Reformed.
Oh.
Yeah.
You did?
I did. I liked it. I watched it on demand and I got a little sleepy before the end. And I know the end is the big moment.
Yeah.
So I actually have to watch that sequence.
I haven't
seen the end yet. I read about it. But I thought it was really good and really interesting. And I liked the fact that the first part of the movie, I almost thought something was wrong because I had read that there was this artist that I liked that did the music. There's no music in like the first almost 3/4 of the movie.
It's pretty stark.
It's very stark. It's all what they call diegetic sound, which is just like sound that happens in the scene, like a choir or like a boombox or something.
Yep.
And then when things start getting real weird and the movie kind of takes a psychedelic turn too, mm-hmm. I know you love that term, but it does. There's like even a sequence that's very like trippy and out of body and they're like, you know, stuff's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. I liked it very much. And it's also, did you notice that it was square aspect ratio?
Mm-hmm.
It's not widescreen.
Oh, I don't know if I noticed that.
It is. Yeah. I read a little bit about it. Paul Schrader says he liked that because it means that the humans are taking up most of the frame.
Huh.
And he thought that was really important for such a movie that was just like conversations between people.
Good movie.
I liked it a lot.
And Noel, I just watched, since we're going down that road here at the end, The Lobster, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
As you know, I love that guy's films. They're tough nuts to crack, but I like them.
It's a weird one. But it's fun in as much as it is also disturbing and nihilistic. That's why I think it's so interesting, because it's like a lot of things.
Yeah, you got to get over the acting in that in Killing of a Sacred Deer. If you can't get past that, not that it's bad acting, but he just does that thing, you know, that very stilted thing where none of the lines are said with any kind of emotion.
Yes, and you're not quite sure what anyone's motivations are, you know.
But I'm into it.
I'm into it. Did you see The Favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Do we talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great.
I'll have to refer back to the archives
for that
conversation.
Great, 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 great.
I agree.
Can't wait to see everything that dude does.
I know. And I also am so happy that Olivia Colman finally got her due.
She's awesome.
And she's I've been loving her since, you know, British weirdo comedies of the 90s, and now she's and now she's this prestigious actor.
I love it. All right, everyone. That is truly the end. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Monday.
Goodbye.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.